The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As I got older and I went into acting, I was drawn to the idea of outlaw characters. What's really interesting, though, that I don't know how many people have picked up in terms of Paul Newman and I, is that when we did Butch Cassidy, initially he was offered the Sundance Kid, and I was going to be Butch Cassidy. And then I met with the director, and when I met with George Roy Hill, I said, well, yeah, I can do that, but I'm much more drawn to the Sundance Kid. And he got convinced of that. So I played Sundance. So they switched the title. It was originally going to be the Sundance Kid and Butch Cassidy.
Which shows that Paul Newman was regarded as the bigger star.
Indeed. It's very
interesting. Robert Redford, who passed away yesterday, aged 89. What a wonderful actor.
What a wonderful actor. His legacy is eternal. And you can see across Instagram and other social platforms, countless celebrities, you know, giving their tributes and their time to his incredible work. I mean, people will know Out of Africa, 1985, one of the most beautiful films ever created. I thought it was stunning. We have, of course, 3 Days of the Condor, The Old Man and the Gun. So many.
All the President's Men, of course, people remember. The Sting, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. So many. And then he decided, maybe as he felt his handsome leading man looks were beginning to fade, that he'd go behind the camera quite a lot, and then became a mentor for young filmmakers.
That's right. Of course, Sundance Film Festival, and I have been, Utah was his place. It's where he drew from his creativity, but he never won actually an Oscar for his work as an actor. He won an Oscar for his work as a director. Ordinary People, one of the most famous movies, I think he's renowned for, not only winning Best Picture, but also as Best Director. That was back in 1980. It's about loss, about family grief. He knew that all too well himself. He had lost a child in infancy and his mother as well. He never quite got over the death of his mother with two stillborns. He's an incredibly gifted actor, not only but insight to characters and how he creates arcs for particular films, but I think it's also his complexity as a character himself. He didn't like Hollywood. He shunned Hollywood. He wasn't interested in being a part of the fabric of it. And he would say that often, you know, I'm happier up in Utah. And he was, I think, regarded sometimes as most as an outsider, but very much an insider in terms of the work that he created. I mean, what a cache of filmmaking. Yeah. You know,
I mean,
the President's
one of the
Men. Beautiful
tabloids
movies.
Has a headline that he sort of stayed away from Hollywood and paid a price.
That's
I'm not
right.
sure whether he paid a price. He was where he wanted to be.
He was where he wanted to be. I mean, Edward Norton, if you're interested, you know, just look up his Instagram page. He wrote a beautiful tribute, a very fitting tribute to the beauty and the voice, the true voice that Robert Redford was, not only as a legend, and also Demi Moore as well, in Indecent Proposal. She said she wanted one last dance with Robert Redford. I mean, aged 89, I suppose, he lived a long life, but I mean, what he did for film in terms of Sundance is beautiful up there, and it's a very important and poignant festival every year, and of course, he curated it.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I know the channels will all be doing seasons of Redford films after his passing. So lots to look forward to over the coming days and weeks. But now we want to go to our normal Inside Hollywood feature, and we're looking at another perfect movie.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. Even before I first wandered into the cab stand for an after-school job, I knew I wanted to be a part of them. It was there that I knew that I belonged. And to me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted. They double-parked in front of a hydrant, and nobody ever gave them a ticket. In the summer, when they played cards all night, nobody ever called the cops.
Nobody ever called the cops. A great movie, Goodfellas, and a wonderful directorial, I suppose, achievement by Scorsese.
I mean, anyone that knows me, I've seen this movie 50, 60 times. Anytime it comes on the TV, I have to watch it in full. I can't even get up and have a cup of tea or say, oh, I'm heading off to bed. Even if it comes on at 12 o'clock at night, I'm still up at 2 in the morning watching it. I mean, this is a real dive headfirst into one, I think, of one of the most perfect movies of all time. And not only Martin Scorsese as a director does he nail it, but it's kind of the mobsters and how he curates them too. It's, you inhale the movie more than watch it, really.
He grew up in Little Italy. So he saw the mobsters all around him, and a lot of this creativity in this movie is based on his own childhood observations.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he will say pound for pound that, you know, this is curated and I suppose based on the characters he would see around, as you said, Little Lily and Bob De Niro, as he's called, and Al Pacino will also say the same. This, the characters they create in the movies that we all love and know is from those people. You know, the obvious is the pace and the story and the cast. Ray Liotta cast as Henry Hill. I mean, it's just magnificent.
Now, the thing that I remember most about Goodfellas is that opening tracking shot.
Yes.
Which was very innovative at the time. There had been another tracking shot in Marathon Man with Dustin Hoffman as he runs along the Hudson River. And of course, Orson Welles had done a brilliant shot in Touch of Evil.
That's right.
But in terms of what Steadicam allowed directors to do in this shot, it's quite remarkable.
Oh, it's remarkable. But this is Scorsese's genius at its finest. Now, if you've never seen Goodfellas, please see it, because, you know, if you're any way interested in film, this will show you how it's really meant to be done. And, you know, many people say the genius of Scorsese is that he doesn't romanticize crime very well, but he shows kind of the seduction, the money, the clothes, the power play, which is really important. And he kind of peels back the layers of paranoia and betrayal and the meltdowns. I think what's interesting, not only is the casting, but it's like a high wire act. I think that every shot and freeze frame is all very deliberate. He thinks everything out, Scorsese. He's meticulous. And he didn't want that kind of classic Hollywood gangster epic. I think he wanted something a little bit raw. And that's what we do get with Goodfellas. We've got some great clips lined up for you today. I think the most famous is Do I Amuse You? Managed to take all the F-bombs out. There's so many in this movie. But have a listen. This is classic improvisation by Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta.
You're a big cop.
You're really funny. What do you mean I'm funny?
It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
You're a big cop.
You're really funny. Really funny.
What do you mean I'm funny?
It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk? What?
It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Yeah, Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Oh, Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how?
Just,
what?
Just, you know, you're funny.
You mean, let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little... Maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh, I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
I'm not just... You know how you tell a story? What?
No, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get the fuck out of here, Tommy.
I almost had him. I almost had him. Stuttering. Frankie, was he shaking? I wonder about you sometimes, Henry. You may fold under questioning.
That's a brilliant scene. That was totally improvised.
Totally improvised, yeah.
I mean, a guy looks at you laughing at you laughing at me. You know, it's that kind of thing, isn't it?
No, indeed. And it's intense. And it's a tense scene as well when you watch it. It always puts me on edge. You know, it's just incredible acting. But Ray Liotta was actually going through a very painful period when filming Goodfellas. His mother was ill and actually passed away during the filming. So that kind of grief and the anger crept into the performance and the fear in his eyes at times, especially when he's enraged. But that was done in one take. This one we just listened to, and Joe Pesci will always say that Scorsese let him go. He wouldn't always let him go, but like Tarantino, he likes to stick to the script. He's very pedantic. But I think this is classic filmmaking at its best.
That magic. Beautiful. There. Now, that tracking shot we talked about, it's interesting because it's very complex. There's so much movement going on because you're going through the back of a restaurant and everything's going on as would be. Mm. There are people coming and going. And that all of that is choreographed.
Everything is choreographed with Scorsese. I mean, it's a reminder of why it's still electric decades later, because you not only have a filmmaker that's crafting something, but he storyboards, he writes, he talks to actors, he researches. And when it comes to continuity editors, the actual editor on the piece was Thelma Schoonmaker, whom I actually went on an editing course just when I was very, very young. It was a false course and I was really interested to meet her. But what she said about Scorsese and how she talked about him, because she would have edited Raging Bull and many of his other great masterpieces, Casino as well, is that, you know, he would leave certain jump cuts in on purpose just as scare factors. So that continuity shot you talk about, one of the most famous, it's all deliberate and always thought out.
Yeah, and they had to rebuild part of the restaurant in order to allow the tracking shot to be continuous. The other thing in the editing, they actually allowed discontinuities to remain. And the whole idea of this, and it's a very interesting thought, that because people's memories are not perfect, that they have things that were there or weren't there, because he may have misremembered something.
Well, in a scene that we're going to play now shortly, I mean, Henry Hill was an avid, you know, drug user, drug abuser. And, you know, so there was chaos. There was, you know, a nod to that fractured way his mind would work, where he was paranoid. He didn't know what was going on. So Thelma would say, and I, as I said, I was in her editing course moons and moons and moons ago, I really took that piece away where she said, again, that was deliberate. He wanted to maintain the fractured elements of Henry Hill's mind, that he was so unsure of piecing together what he'd done, how many murders he committed, and, you know, was he able to even remember what he'd done? So it's an amazing piece of art, really. The continuities are deliberate. Have a listen to this.
So I was home for about an hour. Now, my plan was to start the dinner early so Karen and I could unload the guns that Jimmy didn't want and then get the package for Lois to take to Atlanta for her trip later that
Who's
night.
Who's been carving their initials in the tomato?
No, I kept looking out the window and I saw that the helicopter was gone.
Mike, keep an eye on the sauce, all right? Stay here with your Uncle Michael, all right? I'll see you later.
So I asked my brother Michael to watch the sauce, and Karen and I started out.
Oh, God, I see it.
What?
I see it. Look, it's right there.
Damn. Yep, that's it.
There it is.
Come on,
Henry,
we gotta get to your mother's. See? I told you.
It's funny, okay? It's funny. It's not the end of the world.
We're going to your mother's.
Great music there, of course, the Rolling Stones. I mean, Scorsese has an amazing taste in music. If you ever watch his movies, they're fantastic.
So, Goodfellas, it's always on. You can find it somewhere. And if you haven't seen it, it's a terrific movie, which does not date at all.
Not at all. It's the realism, the power, real money used. Scorsese even used his own parents in the scenes, you know, with Joe Pesci and other. But it is a glorious, messy, one hell of a movie. Definitely rewatch it for sure.
One comment, not about what you've been talking about, but apropos of Trump's visit. But it's related. In a scene ripped from The Sopranos or Goodfellas, the royal family and Starmer, aiming to gain favour with a more powerful mob family, put on a gaudy, extravagant display like throwing a blowout bash at Bada Bing, mimicking a classic tribute scene to prove their unwavering loyalty and commitment. Interesting observation.
Indeed.
Lisa Cannon, who's a TV host, and of course she is head of studio at DMG Media. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll have news next.